This is Young Black and Bothered. This episode is titled Unbothered because I'm technically not really that bothered anymore. There's been a lot of different changes, a lot of different things that I've been going through, a lot of different things that I've thought of, and more importantly, a lot of things that we need to address. So let's just start at the top. So for me, I've had a break from the show, both the sports desk and the regular show with Young Black and Bothered, due to like my own personal like dealings and things of that nature. Basically, I've just been lazy. Could have done shows, could have had, you know, the group come back together and do a bunch of shows. But then I thought about it. I just wanted to have my own personal space to talk, which honestly, that should have been the podcast itself. But again, I'm no longer young, still black, but I'm not as bothered. And taking a few months off gave me a little bit of clarity for a couple of things. So let's just start at the top. Young, Black, and Bothered, there's nothing wrong. There's, you know, we're all still friends. We just are all doing different things. Chris wants to still do the show. Ira still wants to do the show. Shay and Chrissy still want to do the show. But I was just like, you know what? It's time for me to actually do the show myself and just use it as a vessel and as a way to get my thoughts and ideas out. So there's that with Young, Black, and Bothered. With the sports desk, Lou is going through a couple of things where he's just focusing on home and focusing on like his own personal things going on in his life. So we've taken a break from the sports desk. Cashly, she's still here. We are planning on bringing just the sports desk with her and I talking. But again, there's so many different sports going on right now that I can't really figure out how to draft up a podcast where we just focus on sports when there's so much going on at this point. Moving on from that, with me and my, I guess, my inability to be direct with friends and family and stuff like that caused me to do a couple different things, including therapy. I'll talk about that in a second. But you ever just like say something and you meant it, but the way that you said it or the way that you conveyed it came off wrong because you just didn't take the time out. You didn't have the mental fortitude to just step back, see how what you were potentially going to say might affect friendships and things like that. Now, without going into some long, drawn out thing, obviously, you know, with Loudmouth, Shannon and I, we stopped doing the show. And there's no issue behind us ending the show. It just ran its course. I've told people, you know, in my close circle of friends that, you know, I was the main culprit of the reason why the show ended, because I got tired, in my personal opinion, of talking about the topics that we were talking about. And I also became lazy when it came to doing certain things, meaning drafting up the docket, not even showing up on time, but more so showing up ready to present a show. I felt like we had talked about like relationships enough and love enough and all those things that it was no longer something I wanted to talk about. And instead of just saying that straight out, we attempted to keep the ball rolling. When I say we, meaning Shan, kept the ball rolling. And when we did like our abrupt end, I'm sure Shan was like, Greg, like, I'm tired of, you know, pulling, you know, the weight. And that's fine. That's, you know, what she was supposed to do. Just like end it, dead it, and that's fine. So we ended the show. We haven't done a show in a while. We kind of had like an abrupt end, which is cool. So now I've had enough time to have enough stories. When I say stories, meaning things about life. Boy, and there's so much shit that has happened. So first and foremost, I want to talk about the therapy situation. So long story less long, there was a situation with my dental where I ended up having a crown fall out. And when the crown fell out, I went to the dentist, and it's all on like TikTok where they overbilled me and things of that nature. So I ended up looking into my health insurance, seeing the benefits that I could have, the benefits that worked for me. Come to find out, not only does your medical insurance, or at least mine, affords me like therapy, it also has like a dietitian, gym memberships, all these things, like stuff that I didn't realize that I wasn't utilizing at the time. So what I have attempted to do recently is just to find like peace of mind, also just doing things to better me instead of serving everyone else, instead of appeasing everybody else and doing things for others. I wanted to do it for me. And that's where it started with, you know, the therapy. And I was looking at it and they said they took Talkspace. Now, this isn't an ad for Talkspace, but I haven't done therapy. I haven't done, quote unquote, the work in years. Like when I say years, I'm talking, I was maybe 11, 12 years old, went to therapy. Funny story behind that is I went to therapy at the time because I just didn't like my mother's husband at the time. I kind of saw the forest for the trees. I was a little bit rebellious. When I say rebellious, meaning just like calling him out on the shit. And come to find out, like I was quote unquote right about him because they're no longer together. But it was always a chip that I had on my shoulder because it was like, damn, like, you know what? He made life a living hell for me for most of my teenage years. So I went to therapy and I was explaining to the therapist this, but when your parents, or more specifically your mother, is like in love with someone, or when your parent is in love with someone, you can't gauge as a child what you're going to do with them. Like, you can't just be rebellious for the sake of being rebellious. And what I did was I just became reserved. I became more of a writer. I kept a journal of just things going on. And something that really pushed me over the edge, which caused me to go into therapy, was he had gone into my room at the time and started reading through my journals and reading the things that I would write. And it's nothing like glaring. There was no like harm that I was planning on doing to myself or anything like that. It was just, you know, a teenager talking about girls, talking about finding themselves. More importantly, just like the things that were going on in the house from my vantage point. So the journals ended up going and I guess being conveyed to my mother, which caused me to have an argument and a riff with her, causing me to go to therapy. And I told my therapist this, and he said that that was pretty much an invasion of privacy. I should have some type of semblance of identity to be able to speak how I want to speak, even when I'm not speaking, when it comes to a journal or a diary or whatever the case may be. With that being the case, I maybe went to therapy for like 2 or 3 months, and the therapist found out or thought that I was just being a typical teen that was rebellious against their, you know, their step parent. And I was, but again, I still wanted, now flash forward to me being 37, I still wanted to do the work and kind of not unpack, but figure out a few things in my life. And I wrote them down. So my ADHD, I don't know if I have it. It's probably self-diagnosed, but what I do know is I've absolutely like learned that I can't focus for too long on one thing. I jump around a lot. I can't like just have tunnel vision on one thing. And it's because, in my personal opinion, I've always been in the work field, in the life that I've lived in, where I'm always being pulled in multiple different directions. Is that an excuse? Probably. But that's just how I felt. When I work, I'm always working on two different projects at the same time. When I'm at home, I'm being a parent, being a husband, I'm being all of these different things. And it's hard to kind of not have an outlet to not even vent, but to have someone to talk to. And that's where the therapy came into play. So I've done some research on Talkspace. People were saying that, you know, it could be hit or miss. And it started with me trying to figure out if I was going to go and have a male or a female therapist. Now, I had a male therapist as a, you know, child when I had gone, and I wanted to have a Black woman therapist, not for sympathy, not because I feel like, you know, I can talk to a woman easily. I wanted to hear from a woman about a lot of things that I normally talk to my mom about, which is surprising. My mom and I have a great relationship now. We've never been like estranged or anything like that. I just wanted to have a Black woman as a therapist because I knew that I would be held accountable for my own personal actions as well as be like heard at the same time. Now, could I have gotten a white therapist? Absolutely. Could I have gotten a guy therapist? Absolutely. But my therapist like has the credentials that matter to me. went to, you know, HBCU, has all the, like, you know, the degrees and the masters and the master's, all of those things. But having like the 30-minute introduction to her, it really resonated with me because of the fact that she allowed me to kind of paint the picture for who I was without lying, or paint the picture of myself without having to put on airs. And as a podcaster, you tend to do that a lot. You tend to like put on a show for the people who are listening, not realizing like podcasting started not as, you know, entertainment. It was groups of friends. It was individuals just telling their stories and sharing the things they liked. If you liked movies, you like, you know, talk about movies. If you talk about comics, exact same thing, exact same circumstance, right? So being able to speak to her, not in podcaster tone, but in a vulnerable state, that's what caused me to want to start to podcast again. Because podcasting, before too many dynamics got into it, talking about, you know, friends and friendships ending and things like that, like a lot of that stuff has happened in the course of this podcast. And it made me think, I'm like, okay, maybe I need to focus where it matters the most, which is upfront with me. And I love this session so much, I've booked it through the rest of the year. Like I have, excuse me, I have a appointment every week for the rest of the year. And I'm really super excited about it. And I think what matters the most to me is the fact that it's going to allow me to speak on other things that I need to address. That way I can pull back and return to situations that I want to return to and address them accordingly. And that brings me to like my next point for the show, which is like limiting friendships and the access to people, right? Or in my access to people. Now, I am very open. I'm very outright and I'm vocal, or at least I was vocal about a lot of things. And sometimes that has come to like bite me in the ass, to the point where like even with our like group of friends, for example, like I've kind of omitted myself from the group, not because I wanted to. It was because I was pretty much told that I was fucking up. And when I say I was fucking up, shout out to Baylor. He called me and he was like, yo, what was that about? Like, it was just a personal situation I don't want to kind of address on the show. But he told me, he's like, yo, Greg, like, what's going on? Blah, 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 blah. And I felt as though I wasn't being heard. And I also felt like, you know what? I was kind of jumping in front of the gun for someone and it wasn't seen in a positive light. It was seen like, oh, well, Greg is a problem for this. So he's, you know, going off the deep end. It's not that deep. But I'm one of those type of people that when I take my friendship seriously, I take my friendship seriously. And when I'm going through a situation where I want to let that person know like how I feel about it, it always would come off wrong. And I'm like, how can I approach this in a positive way? And for some reason, it's just my wording. It's too cutthroat. I know this. And what I had to do was pull away. And I told Baylor, and I haven't apologized to him because I was just like, yo, like, I'm kind of over the situation. Even though he was being assertive and trying to kind of rectify it, the damage was already done. And more importantly, it was a situation that can't be fixed. And when I say can't be fixed, you know, apologies were said and it was more so it's like, yeah, like you said it, but whatever. Like, that's just how it felt in my personal opinion. But again, I just would like to, you know, apologize to him and everybody else. They know who they are because I could have handled the situation a little bit better. We can leave it where it is. We, you know, it is what it is. But ultimately, I just wanted to, again, hold myself accountable with apologizing. And I think, you know, things that happen in the public should be apologized for in the public. So that's where I'll leave that. But outside of that aspect, though, there are some friendships not related to like that group of friends. I've also learned that you do outgrow friends. And this is a funny story. We were planning a trip, right? So we're planning a trip. I won't say where, but it's, you know, one of those places like a passport bro type of place where the guys can be the guys. It's just a guy trip And I think the social norms that have happened nowadays, people are starting to make it seem like passport bros are the only way that guys can travel and have fun together. And I've always thought that was weird. I've always wanted to go on a guys trip where we're just guys. We're riding ATVs. We're going swimming. We got the yacht parties. Yes, there's going to be women around. But we have one of my personal friends, again, which is crazy, who essentially threw us all collectively, me specifically, under the bus by making a comment. And the comment was so derogatory. It's like, yo, like, how can I really rock with a person like that? Like, how can I go and comfortably say that person allowed, you know, I can allow that person in the space with other people that they don't know? Essentially, what he told us in a guy group is, if we go out of town, why do we have to go out of town to a place where he said the quote unquote cheap liquor and pussy? Now, somebody would say, what the fuck do you mean by that? Like, everywhere has cheap liquor. Everywhere has women, right? Common sense shit. But the issue that we ran into with Buddy is me in my mouth. I told him, I was like, why are you so focused on the fact that we're going on a guys trip to a place that's, you know, tropical, it's exotic, you know, it's Colombia, y'all. So we're planning this trip to Colombia, and he made it crystal clear. He was like, hey, the guys who are married and in relationships, like, I'm going to hold you accountable for your actions. If we're going on a fucking guys trip, like, we don't need a moral compass to kind of tell us that we are doing wrong. The people who are doing wrong were already going to do fucking wrong. So there's that. But ultimately, the people who are married, they know better. Like, they can hold themselves accountable for their actions. And I got really upset about that, because I've never heard of a guy group where there's that one person that is just spying. When I say spying, like being an op, like, hey, by the way, I'm going to tell you about yourself when you're out. Then you should just stay the fuck home. You don't know what these other guys are going to do on this trip before we get there, first and foremost. And secondly, you can't go and dictate how a guy is going to feel when they go somewhere. They may be going through relationship problems. They may have a, what do you call that thing? Like a hall pass. You don't know what most guys are going through. So for one guy in the guy group to say that he would essentially snitch on his friends who are in relationships, I thought that was fucking asinine. I thought it was crazy. I'm sitting there like, what the, like, it just didn't make sense in my head. So he and I going back and forth to the point where I'm talking to our other guy group, and I ask, sorry, I'm not letting people up. I'm talking my shit right now. But basically, what I explained was, I just can't understand why one guy out of a circle of guys wants to be the moral compass for the guys, which we appreciate. And I understand that. But there's a time and a place for that. We haven't even gotten to the trip. We haven't even planned the trip. So imagine, as we're planning the trip, there's this one guy that decides, you know what? I'm going to be the bearer of bad news. I'm going to make sure that y'all can have fun, but within my limits. You don't need to go on that trip. You, friend, do not need to be on a trip where your main focus outside of, you know, having fun is to make sure that your friends aren't having the fun that they want to have. I thought that was a little bit egregious. I didn't like it. So I was like, nah, fuck it. And I talked my shit. Y'all know how I get with my mouth. But I, for the first time ever, I pulled back. I said, you know what? I don't think that this is going to be a productive conversation. I'm going to bow out about it. So flash forward to today, I get a text message from one of the other guys in a separate group that I was invited on the trip. He was like, you know what? I think, you know, he may have been right about that. And in my head, I know this sounds really weird to say, is the people who are thinking all of these bad things are going to happen, more than likely, more than likely what will happen is they're the ones that do the things that they do. So it's like if somebody says, you know what, I'm never going to rob a bank, but they've robbed five banks before. It's like, oh, so you don't want to be put in a situation where you'll do something that you are accustomed to doing, that you're good at. Don't put that on everybody else. It's weird. And nobody wants to be in a situation where they have to look over their shoulder to make sure that you're not watching them at every whim. Tying it into the therapy thing, I wanted to talk to my therapist about that with the friendships. Like, how can I effectively communicate to my friends, to the people that I love and adore and care for without coming off as a jerk, without coming off like an asshole? I know I do this very often, but it started to bother me when we got into the situation with the PodFam group. And it was like, yo, am I rude? Am I just being aggressive about a situation that doesn't really matter? And more importantly, like, am I being honest and true to my friends, or am I being too much of a friend to these friends? Because not everybody sees your friendship or your want for a friendship the same. You may be someone's best friend, but they may not be your best friend. You know what I mean? And that's something that I gripe with, because I can never decipher the two. I head into all of my friendships the exact same way. I think that how I treat one friend shouldn't deviate from how I treat another. My friends are like godparents to my daughter. They know my address. They come to my house and stuff like that. I feel like once you've gotten that close, you are family to me. And to have people that you deem family act a certain way, or more importantly, just feel like you've done them wrong. And even when you tried to express how you felt and it was kind of falling on deaf ears, that's when it's like, okay, maybe I did something wrong. Maybe I should step back from it. So now what I've learned to do is sometimes step away from the desk, step back a little bit, and just breathe, one. And two, revisit it later. I saw a meme, actually, where the meme was of the magnitude of, instead of typing that big paragraph that you're about to send that can possibly upset somebody, you just press, you just type okay and send it. And I like that method of thinking now, because there's a lot of things I want to say, and I simply leave it with okay. And the reason why I do that now is because some things aren't really worth arguing about with family, friends, relationships, any of that. Sometimes it's better to just assess it from a different vantage point by stepping away. Because some people don't really know how you're going to interact with them, and I respect that. But there are some people who, regardless of how you approach a situation, could give a fuck less how you're going to approach it. They're going to take it as a slight, or they're going to take it as if like you have done something wrong to them, even when you're just expressing how you feel. And that's why, for me with therapy, I think that'll definitely work. Moving on from that, because I know that was kind of heavy for y'all, like with fatherhood, as I know, Skylar, she's 4, getting big, like bigger every day, starting to talk back, which is cool. But it has been a revelation being a parent. Like the past few months of not podcasting, of not, doing the social audio thing and stuff, like I've actually gotten to spend more time watching my kid grow. Doing fatherly things. I've always done them, but it's a little bit different when they're newborns or when they're smaller versus when they have their own like ideologies and personalities. Like my daughter has my personality, my attitude. She also has a little bit of her mother's as well. And now like she holds me accountable for things with her personal emotions. Right. So she'll tell me like, you know what, like that hurts my feelings. When it comes to like stuff at school, a friend hurt my feelings today. And I'm like, I would never want my daughter's feelings to be hurt. So it's actually giving me like that come to Jesus moment where it's like, you know what? Like having a little human that you take care of and she's starting to be expressive and having her emotions, it means the world to me. And it's actually made me look at the world from a different vantage point. It's like, you know what? Like everything isn't like as difficult as it seems, and everything doesn't have to be as difficult as you're making it. So I've kind of reserved a lot of comments. I've definitely stepped back and just became more of a parent, being more assertive, just doing little shit like going, taking her more to the playground. Now it's colder outside, dancing, ballet, soccer and things like that. Like she is like growing like a weed. She's going to be taller than me. And I'm actually a little bit pissed about it because my daughter's going to be taller than me. I'm 5'7", and she's already looking like she's going to shoot up like a sprout. And that's fine. My mother was actually talking about putting her in cheerleading. I can't let it happen. I can't let it fucking happen because who the fuck want, like, cheerleading is like every week thing, bro. And it's always bothered me when my sister cheerleaded because I always think of the worst scenario when it comes to cheerleading. Like, oh, she might hurt herself. Or, hey, you know what? Like, there's something going on every week. I don't want that, you know? And as much as my mom wants my daughter to cheerlead, I just can't fit the bill for cheerleading. And I want her to do something that she wants to do. My daughter likes music. She likes the piano. She likes, you know, musical things. So I know for a fact I want to keep her in like dance and ballet. I want her to be more assertive in what she wants to do instead of what we want her to do as a parent. I would love for my daughter to play basketball, but it's not up to me. Children should be able to decide what they want to be and how they want to spend their time, right? So that's where I'm at with like the fatherhood situation. Moving on from that, because again, I don't want to like keep y'all up with that. I've already talked for like 30 minutes about therapy, right? So outside of that, like the gym updates, like the dad bod is still there, bro. It's fucking crazy that I still have dad bod, but I have a dietitian now. And my dietitian has essentially told me that I was thinking about like how I was eating wrong. Like I was skipping breakfast. Like understand intermittent fasting is a thing, but my issue with intermittent fasting for me was I would go and just not eat until 1 o'clock. And then I would eat something that pretty much could have been breakfast and lunch, but I wasn't not even counting the carbs or counting the macros. It was just like, okay, you skip breakfast and you eat lunch at one, but then you had a 1700 calorie Chipotle bowl and you finished like a half of it. And it's like, okay, cool. You would finish half of it and it was a craving. And once you've met that craving, you still have half of that bowl, but now you don't want to touch it. So I'm not only eating food that I haven't counted like the nutritional facts, but I also am not even eating it and wasting money at the same time. So I started doing more groceries and being more assertive in how I eat, having more leafy vegetables, having more greens, cutting back on the bread, cutting back on the rice, the dairy as well. Like I'm learning to do a little bit better and be more conscientious of my health and my diet. And that is tied into, like I said, the therapy, that's tied into dietitian, working out and things like that. Cause everybody tells you, you can't outwork a bad diet or you can't outwork out a bad diet. And I noticed that, like, I was over the summer, I was talking about, oh, I'm going to get healthy and I'm jumping rope and going to the gym. But then I would be so fucking hungry, like the days that I didn't, you know, go to the gym. Boom. I'm like, all right, great. I'm going to Five Guys. And it's like, so what's the fucking purpose of the gym? So, again, I've just been more diligent in that. But it started with me just holding myself accountable with certain things. I promised myself I would have a podcast posted for November 1st. This is going to be that episode because I feel like I owed it to myself to kind of like finish the story, finish what I wanted to do, what I strive to do with Young, Black, and Bothered, and just using it as, you know, what Baylor would say, as a time capsule. I listened to a few older episodes from 2018, 2019, and even 2020, and I'm not even that same person anymore. I think about it, I'm like, oh, like, I'm not that same Greg. I'm more vocal about mental health. I'm more focused on family. I'm focused on these things, but I'm also accepting my flaws and attempting to change them. Attitude has to change. My, you know, assertiveness and ADHD and all of that, I have to do better at that. That doing the shadow work, therapy, absolutely working on that. That is something that it really matters to me. And it took, crazy enough, it took going to the fucking dentist and seeing a high ass dental bill to realize, you know what? Sometimes it is you. Like, you are not everybody's problem. You're your problem. And that mattered to me. So I've been doing the work, the therapy, the dietitian, the working out, the, you know, being more assertive at work. All of these things really have mattered when it comes to just my life and my livelihood. Moving on from like all of that to, I guess, what's next is politics, right? We all know that the like election is coming up, and you know, as a black male, one thing that has really pissed me off, and you can say what you want to say, I don't care about your political affiliations or anything like that. It's the disrespect for women, black women specifically. I've heard on Clubhouse and a few other apps where they are grown men who just hate women. And it's not even a color thing. They just really, really hate women. And as somebody who has hosted many shows that have women in them, it just really, it hurts my heart, man, that people just, they really have that much disdain for a woman, not even running a country, just being in the same position that a man typically has been in. It's like if you were a man, like if all the managers at McDonald's historically have been men, and then that first woman who's, you know, becomes a manager at McDonald's, everybody else is like, why the fuck does she have to do it? Like, some things have to change. Like, when I say change, meaning somebody else gets a turn. That really was something that bothered me. I'm not going to talk about it too much because I know how people get with politics, right? But in the overarching thing, because it was a pain point that I was talking to a random person on the way home about, was like the border and the wall and stuff like that. Like, I feel like people who are immigrants should be able to be afforded the same luxuries that we do. And regardless if they're coming over for asylum or they're coming over because that's what they want, like, you know, they just, I feel like we should be able to have a little bit more leniency and just care for other people. We've kind of lost that identity because we've definitely gotten into a culture where one person may see it one way and another person will challenge that person's point of view. No one should be challenging somebody's way of thought when that's just how they feel. Like, if you hate gummy bears and somebody else loves them, don't shit on gummy bears because you just want to see somebody down. I think that's the culture that we're in now. And I'm hoping that it shifts, because during the entire pandemic, when we had loudmouth stereo, when, you know, we were doing Young Black and Bothered, like, we would run articles. We did the first 48s. We talked about so much like bad shit, so many bad like videos and all of those things. And it made me realize, I'm like, are we the problem? Like, are we just to the point where we're more focused on everybody else's life instead of improving ours? To the point where we're waking up to hate things. Even like when we look at our emails in the morning, like, I got into a habit of opening up my phone and it would just be negative news just to start the day. And I'm sure my algorithm's gotten better and it's improved, but I got tired of seeing bad news. I got tired of, oh, this person passed away. I got tired of, oh, well, this went wrong today. I was like, what can go right? How can I be more aware of the good that's going on in the world and not the bad? And that's something that I really implore people to think about, because shout out to the guy, the Fresh Fiend. I listened to his podcast, the Podium Podcast, and I've noticed a change in him, a shift in him, because his mindset changed when he stopped listening to the noise, when he stopped going and paying attention to the negative things, because once you see too much negative, you become that negative person. You feel me? And allowing more positive things to go through your ears and get stuck there, enough is going to just get stuck. And hearing how his perspective in life, because he has a similar situation to me, like, he has his lady, he, you know, he has his daughter, and he's become a better man just by honestly doing a process of elimination of all the cons in his life and focusing on the things that he wants to make positive or improve on. Him and his lady getting along well. His family has improved. And I've always like been proud of people that are just doing the work. He's like lost a lot of weight. He's going to the gym. He's working out. And he challenges, like, in his stories, he's always telling people, he's like, yo, like, you have to be better for you. Nobody else is going to do that. And it resonated with me. It actually, like, it sits on my brain. Like, when I go and I listen to my podcast, you know, the older episodes, I'm like, okay, you're talking about all these things that should change, but talking about it ain't going to do shit. You have to do it. I listened to an episode where I was like, yo, I'm going to the gym and stuff like that. That's cool. But also at the same time, like, don't talk about the journey. Just go do the shit. If you want to film the journey, go ahead and do that. I'm not a big person who I want to just document the entire journey. I'll do a before and after photo, but I'm not here showing the world my weight loss journey. I'm not here to tell people how to live their personal life. All I want to do is just be around the people who are attempting to do whatever they want to do the correct way. When I say the correct way, their way, not how everybody else sees it. So it's like, oh, you're not doing it for the gram, right? You're not doing it for TikTok. You're doing it because you know what? You want to be healthier. You want to live till 70, 80 years old. That's what you want to do. That's where I'm attempting to be. And it starts with, again, doing the work and getting the right things done by being more assertive. Now, I guess we can get into some fun shit before I get out of here, because, again, I'm not trying to talk for an hour. I was going to touch on the Diddy situation, but I think that's kind of run its course with the world. Everybody knows that he's, you know, in jail now. You know, he's awaiting, you know, the trial and all those other things. All I will say in regards to that is there was a lot of shit that I said back in 2009 and 2010. And, you know, it stands. I feel like, you know what, if the women and the men that, you know, they feel as though like were approached by Diddy and they felt like he did harm to them or he did something wrong to them, they will have their day in court. They've probably said the things that they needed to say, and there'll be a consequence for it for him. Like, he's got a family at the end of the day, which is cool. And I sympathize for them. I empathize with them. But again, like, when you get away with certain things for so long and you eventually run into that brick wall of people who are like, oh no, we're going to stand together and take you down. It's essentially like, you know, the Thanos and Marvel superheroes. It's like, okay, yeah, like that's Thanos right there. But if we come together and we put our minds together, we can accomplish that goal. And that's what a lot of people are doing. And a lot of women are kind of fed up with a lot of men's shit. So I commend them for doing what they did. You're just going to jail, and that's fine. That's fine. One social media tip, right? For me, I've been doing a lot of fucking videos for the TikTok shop. I actually just got into the TikTok One program, right? Love the program. I've been a part of it, and it gives me more to do. Like, it gives me more potential money. And I'm all about like coin at this point. I'm all about being more financially stable. Side hustles are my thing. Stereo, shout out to Stereo. They used to like have incentives that I used to use. They used to have a live chat. Like, I think they still have a live chat where people can leave comments and things like that. But now what I've attempted to do is just honestly, just create more. I'm a creative. I like to create, but I don't like to be like bundled into a niche. So I'm just trying different things and enjoying it. I think I prefer that. Like, some days I want to talk about tech. Some days I want to talk about sports. I'm a very versatile floater when it comes to being a content creator. I think I'm gonna keep it that way. It works for me and it works for my brain that way. When it comes to creating the product reviews, the pain point that I've run into is there's always these brands that they reach out to you first and they never want to follow through. They will send you a request for a product. They'll say, hey, we want you to review this, blah, 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 woo, woo, woo. And next thing you know, guess what? Product never comes, or they cancel the invite. And I'm sure, I'm absolutely certain they've seen my content. It's like, oh, Greg, you know, he may post reviews, but he's also posting like about his life and like other things. And that's just who I am. I don't go on TikTok or social media to dance. I'm just using social media the way that I've always thought social media was supposed to be, like a time capsule, like a way to go back and look at the catalog of life and say, you know what? You know, on this day last year, this is what I was talking about. You know, throwback Thursday, that's what I look like. Like, that's what social media is for me. Social media isn't just a bunch of gossip and people arguing. I've also definitely abused the block button because I don't like to argue with people. Fuck you. Like, I will block you before I go back and forth with you because, again, it makes no sense. It makes no sense to actually go and dialogue with somebody who you can't change their opinion. They just want to troll. So it's hard to troll when you're blocked. So we just, you know, we cut the snake off at the head, and guess what? There's no more Venom. So that just, it makes me happy to know that I've actually grown up a little bit with that. Where I haven't grown up at is the San Francisco 49ers. So they lost to the Kansas City Chiefs, and I'm sick of the shit. They have a problem, a disconnect of trying to figure out how to win winnable games. And I understand, you know, Debo's injured. I know that we just lost Ayuk. Christian McCaffrey's been on ice for a while. I can't figure out what's the problem in San Francisco. They have all the talent in the world. They have the offense. They have the defense. They just can't figure out how to get across that threshold. The threshold not even being the Super Bowl, which is what people would think. My hurdle with the 49ers and being a 49ers fan is the injuries. Like, the NFL has definitely gotten softer, which I hate, but I also believe that we should be afforded a team that is that good to win winnable games. When you have the lead, keep the lead. But it's San Francisco, and I'm used to being disappointed, if not the last four or five games of the season, in the playoffs when they eventually lose to a team that is not good. And right now, there's no NFC team that I think outside of Minnesota is really that good. But that's a whole nother argument for a whole nother day. Let's talk about the Celtics, and then I'll get into the other news, and I'm just going to be out for this episode. But as you know, the NBA season started. My Celtics are 2-0. They just beat Washington last night. At the time that y'all are probably listening to this, there'll probably be two or three more games. But, you know, because I'm recording this on the 25th of October. And the issue that I have for the Celtics is I feel like everybody is saying that Boston's going to repeat. The issue that I'm having with Boston, though, is they always look this good to start the season. And people forget that it is a 82-game season and they've played two games. So saying things like, oh, they look the strongest, they look the best, I'm like, they're one injury away. Like, Porzingis has been on ice since they won the fucking title. They won the fucking, you know, NBA championship, and he starts the season injured. I don't understand how the fuck that happens. You've been off for 4 months. You've literally been off for 4 months. How the fuck did you start the season injured? Same thing with Embiid. He's talking about that he doesn't want to play, and Embiid plays for the Sixers, but it's like, bro, how are you talking about you can't play back-to-back games? What the fuck? Why? How do you start the season saying what you won't do? Imagine you're going to work and they're paying you every, you know, whatever amount they're paying you. And you say, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to show when I want to, and I'm going to work when I want to. And then when I don't, you know what? You're still going to pay me. That's not how the fuck that shit works. A lot of athletes have just gotten really lazy. That's why all the injuries happen, because they're fucking eating Big Macs and like fast food and shit, and then worried about like their conditioning. LeBron's pushing. How old is LeBron? Like 43? And he's out here taking care of his body, invest millions every year. But we can't get Embiid to play two games back to back. That's fucking crazy. So, yeah, I'm not a fan. I think it's really weird that we have that. But again, I'll move on, because I would like to save some of that stuff for whenever we do the sports desk. Right. Just some other news I thought was interesting. Like, apparently Lil Durk got arrested. Right. So he got arrested by the U.S. Marshals and was charged with murder for hire and a retaliation shooting for King Von's murder. Right. Now, do I really have a thought process on this? No, because I don't want anybody to go to jail. And I saw the rumblings on Twitter and all that. It's just an unfortunate situation all the way around. Like, too many lives were lost and things like that. I didn't really listen to Dirk like that. Same thing with, like, Vaughn. Man, you know, God rest that man's soul as well. But ultimately, man, like, we as a community do a lot of stupid shit. For not even clout, you know, for clout. We do a lot of things in retaliation, or we do a lot of stupid things in general because we think, like, all right, like, we're going to get away with it. Like, it's not how that works. Like, you may have gotten away with it, but you didn't get away with it. Like, somebody's always watching you. And this is all alleged here. According to Twitter, the person who told was a part of the crew. Which, again, going back to that story about the friends who want to, like, be the ops and shit like that. Just imagine, like, it be your own people. The call be coming from inside the house, and it's weird. So, again, man, like, we got to do better. Like, us black men, like, we definitely have to do fucking better, because not only are we taking each other out. We're taking out ourselves because we're going to fucking prison. Like, you see, they were ready to lock up Diddy's ass. They were ready for Dirk. They have yet to lock up Trump. They have yet to lock up a lot of the people who publicly have done wrong that are not black or brown. And guess what? We just allow the shit to happen. They done canceled everybody that is important in black culture over the past fucking 25 years. If they haven't done that, they're no longer with us. They are no longer alive. MJ got his masters. They got him the fuck up out of here. Prince, the exact same fucking situation. Like, people were actually preying on Jay-Z's downfall because Diddy, they were like, oh, well, Diddy's locked up, so, you know, Jay has to be next. It's like, God damn, like, yo, who will we have? Now, the trade-off is some people will say, well, you know what? If they did bad, they deserve to be gone away. And that's fine. I agree with that. The issue that I have is we don't really have a lot of the idols that we thought we had. And the reason why we don't have a lot of those idols is because of the fact that we're idolizing our idols. And I think there's a stark difference in that. Like, you can have an idol, like your father, your mother, stuff like that. But we're idolizing people that we don't really know and we've never met. So they are like a staple in our lives of what it means to be a person. And we start to do the exact same thing as them. So when you see these, you know, these 16 and 17 year olds who want to be thugs, they want to be gangsters, they want to, you know, go get their ops and shit like that. It's like, yo, like, it's the music that they're listening to. Now, I don't want to sound like the old man on the porch, because we've listened, like, I've listened to Jay, I've listened to DMX, and I even listen to these newer artists as well. But I know, like, you know, crashing out will literally, like, it's only going to get you like three places, and neither one of them are good. So we just got to have a little bit more wherewithal and like thought when it comes to the things we do, the people that we're around, the situations that we're putting ourselves in. When I was young, I was told that if you get into a car with somebody and they do something wrong or illegal, guess what? It's guilt by association. It's going to be you. So what I had to do was start picking my friends better. When I say better, meaning like knowing that, okay, if that person's a troublemaker, I don't want to be in trouble because I don't want to deal with the consequences of trouble. I was blessed enough to hang out with the right people. And I'm just kind of like disheartened at the fact that, you know, the people who've done wrong, like, yeah, they did wrong, but now the justice system is there to serve a punishment to them versus the community, versus the people who's like, you know what, we could have solved this problem by having a talk, having a conversation. I understand there's not every situation can't have a conversation, right? Excuse me. But at the same time, there should be some type of way we can all connect and tell people that, you know what, this is the problem I'm having with you. Like, these beefs and stuff like that, a lot of beefs could possibly be solved by having conversations, but people don't want to talk anymore. And I think the reason why they don't want to talk anymore is because they don't know how to communicate. That's why you see people leading with action. They're shooting people, they're stabbing people, they're harming people, because they don't know how to speak. They don't know how to have a conversation. What they do is they infer and they just shoot from the hip. And it's not a good look at all. So that, and it's, I just feel bad for all the parties, right? On a positive note, Summer Walker, she dropped a new single. I'm going to be listening to it. I can't wait for this fucking album to drop. I'm absolutely ready for that to be a thing, because yeah, I know how I feel about her. I really think she's like this generation's Mary. When I say this generation, meaning like the people who are younger than me, like that's who they resonate with. And I really enjoy her music. I think she is like a breath of fresh air to like female R&B that is transparent. It's like, it's telling you what they're thinking and what is going on in their world or in her world versus I'm going to tell everybody else's story, even though I didn't experience that shit. And I will always admire Summer, even though she does some weird, like off the wall shit. I really admire her, and she seems to be like a good mom to her kids and stuff like that. So I'm always of the mindset that, you know what, if this is who she is and she's telling you who she is and you can't change who she is, I respect that. I respect people who stand in who they are and you either accept it or neglect it. And that really matters to me. Tying that all in, the reason why this episode is being called Unbothered is not that I was bothered to begin with, I'm just at a point where I enjoy having open dialogue and communication, and now using this show as a way to talk about the things that I want to talk about, how I want to talk about them, one, uninterrupted, and two, so I can hold myself accountable for my words. I'm hoping in future episodes, because there will be more episodes, that I can go and be more transparent about life, love, pursuit of happiness, all those other things, but make it entertaining. There will be some laughs. I'll have some guests come on from time to time and we just shoot the shit. That's fine. I'll bring back some of the segments and all those things. You know, it's hard to do first 48 when you can't have anybody guest, right? So maybe I'll save that for like the guest episodes. But in closing, man, I really appreciate y'all actually listening to me and rocking with us for, you know, it's been like 5 years since we've been doing the show. It really matters. Shit, it's not even 5 years. It's 2024. We've been doing this since 2018. It's been a long time since we've done this show. And I extend my gratitude to everybody who's been a part of the show. You know, and when I say part of the people who are no longer on the show, there's too many names. I remember we had at one show, Good, Bad, and Unavailable, we had Dayana, Kelly, we had Wes, Eric, like we had so many people. We had Tiffany. There were so many people on the show, and I really extend my gratitude because, like, those are my friends. Those are the people that I deem friends. And even though, like, we've all kind of outgrown that aspect of life and that show, everything does run its course. But just because things run their course don't mean that friendships have to. You can distance yourself, you can change, you can evolve, but those are still going to be your friends if they want to be your friends. So with that being said, man, like, this has been the Unbothered episode. I don't even remember what episode number we're on anymore. We should just start new, to be completely honest. But, man, like, thank y'all for rocking with me. I appreciate you. I fuck with y'all. And hopefully, you'll listen. Go back and listen to older episodes, you know, the Loudmouth shows, the shows that, you know, we've done with Baylor and Everything Culture, with Drake. I really appreciate y'all, man. So hopefully, you know, I keep to my word and keep being consistent in this, because this is new, talking by myself. But guess what? That's what we're here for. And we're going to try to do it in an unbothered fashion. So shout out to y'all. Thank you. I love you. And I'll see y'all on the next episode, y'all. Peace.
Hey, do you have the Wi-Fi password? Common words everyone has said in an airport, coffee shop, or any public place with free internet. Don't fall victim to internet hackers while using free internet thanks to NordVPN. NordVPN is one of those services you tell yourself you don't need until it's too late. We've used the NordVPN to browse the web, check bank accounts, and even stream apps like Netflix. It's the only VPN service that lets you bypass ISPs, perfect for when your job has sites you frequent like Facebook is blocked. It's the best VPN service you can get for both price and performance. Install NordVPN on up to 6 devices, including your smartphone, tablet, and desktop, and experience the service for yourself. Start protecting yourself and your content with NordVPN by heading over to nordvpn.com/YBAB at checkout and save 75% on your subscription.
Got questions? O'Reilly Auto Parts has answers. Need a pro you can trust? We've got that too. No matter what you need, our professional parts people have the training and expertise to help you do things right. Deep automotive knowledge. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
O'Reilly.